Investor Schooling is an education company located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Investor Schooling, the principals or their employees are not licensed by any regulatory institution. Larry Steinhaus are not registered reps of any investment firm, nor do they sell any securities. Their advice is based on their experiences and the experiences of their students. They are not attorneys or accountants, and before using any of their advice, they suggest you check with your legal or tax professionals. To find out more, go to www.investorschooling.com.
This show is previously recorded.
Now, let's welcome Larry Steinhaus and your hosts for Investor Schooling Live.
All right, good afternoon and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Coming to you live from the Investor Schooling Studios, I am Larry Steinhaus and I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. Get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many other things about money I bet you didn't even know. Hey, you can call us anytime during the show with your questions at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. That's right. We're a live program, so you can call anytime during the show, and we will take your calls. Don't worry about what we're talking about, because we'll take your calls, and we'll answer your question, or talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. If it has to do with real estate, it has to do with stock options, it has to do with the stock market, cryptocurrency, anything, just give us a call, 855-939-1137. At Investor Schooling, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money in taxes, how to be financially free, and we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of you working for money. Investor Schooling is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right off the Newtown Bypass, right off Route 95, serving the New Jersey and Greater Philadelphia areas in a real brick-and-mortar building. Our students are also located in several states with our exclusive web access to our classes and seminars. Get ready to learn this business, the business of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, stock options trading, and you'll learn it from those who do it every day. All right, welcome to Investor Schooling Live with your friendly neighborhood financial expert, and hey, that's me, Larry Steinhaus. And by the way, I happen to be here with our marketing director, Paul Martorano. Say
hey,
hi, Paul.
Hi, how's everybody doing out there? It's Paul Martorano, the marketing director at Investor Schooling. Here at Investor Schooling in a brick and mortar building, but it actually has vinyl siding, I think, Larry.
Well, yeah, but brick and mortar is kind of like an expression.
I know, I'm just kidding around.
But, you know, but I do that whole thing again. That was pretty good.
Did you like that? Yeah, that was my radio voice.
You like
that?
I like your radio
voice. Hey, it's Paul Martorano, the marketing director of Investor Schooling, where we teach you how to be financially free.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Now you know why. Again, now you know why he's the marketing director.
That's right.
Because he can speak like that.
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, if you're listening to this show, call in 855-939-1137 and let us know if you heard any of our new commercials. Because, you know, Paul wrote them all.
I did. No, I didn't write them all. But you wrote them. I voiced some of them.
I know. You voiced some of them. But I'm just having a little bit of fun, and I'm saying, hey, you know, I want people give you kudos for writing them. So 855-939-1137, give us a call. By the way, we got some people online. We're also live. Well, while we do this show, live at on WPHT in Philadelphia, we also do it live on
Facebook.
We do it live on Facebook, we do it live on LinkedIn, and we do it live on YouTube and Twitter. So if you're watching online, please say hi. We love it when you say hi. Actually, I see Carrie saying hi, so thank you, Carrie, for listening. All right, so what do you want to talk about today, Paul? You know, you came on the show, you said, I want to be on the show, I want to be a radio star, at least for the day.
I already am a radio star.
That's right, you actually have a show. He has a show on another station. I have a show on another station, too. But you want to talk about something that has to do with real estate or stock options?
Well, actually, I was out looking at a couple houses yesterday.
That's right. Why don't we talk about that? That's sure. Actually what you said to me, because I forgot.
You forgot something, Larry?
Who are you again?
I don't know. If you could tell me, that would be helpful.
Aren't you Steve?
Yeah.
Steve.
I'm Steve, the assistant CEO of Investor Schooling.
Steve Maraschino or something like
sure.
that?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever you want to call me.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So, Paul, you were looking at a house yesterday.
I was out looking at some.
And that's actually a really good conversation. So, yeah. So just to give you a little bit of preface, you know, of course, Paul is not only the marketing director here, but he also was a student. He came in, almost all our employees start out as students.
Right.
And then they came to work for us because they love me. They think I'm the greatest employer ever, right?
Oh, absolutely. Larry Steinhaus is the greatest employer ever to walk the face of the earth.
Well, that's got to be true if I could keep guys like you.
That's
and
right.
even Mike in our production room,
that's right?
Mike Kiefer, he's our... Is it Kiefer? Did I get it right? Kuiper? Kiefer? What the hell's your name?
It's Kuiper.
Kuiper. I never get his name right.
Mike brought his girlfriend with him today. What employer lets you bring your girlfriend to work?
What, yeah, right. Mike brought his girlfriend to work. Hey, say hi, Jess.
Hi.
See that? She says hi from the control room. So Kuiper, Mike Kuiper, right. Is also. Do you like it here, Mike? Do you like working here?
Yeah, it's all right.
Man, I got. Yeah, it's all right. And then I got, you know, Paul being sarcastic about how great it is.
It is.
Well, you know,
look, it is great. Soon, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't great.
Just so you know, pretty soon the economy is going to be so bad that you guys are going to be so right. Glad you have jobs. So keep it in mind.
You know what? I do keep that in mind because the economy is trashed right now, and it's getting worse. It is getting worse.
Hey, hold on. But, before we go into your story, we got Peter in Philly. What's going on, Peter?
Hello, Larry.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Yes, love your show. I remember Phil was talking one time about Tampa's growing, and he also talked about Erie, Pennsylvania. He thought it was undervalued, underrated. They have a lake there. And my question basically, which would be a better city to invest, Erie, PA, over there on the outskirts, or York, PA?
So you want my real answer?
Yeah,
it doesn't
bottom
matter.
Line. You're a bottom line.
It doesn't matter. So bottom line is I don't care if you invest in Oshkosh, Pennsylvania, Erie, Pennsylvania, Bucks County. I know, is there an Oshkosh, Pennsylvania?
I think you're thinking of Oshkosh. I think is that Wisconsin, Oshkosh.
Yeah, I'm just making it up.
I don't know.
I'm making it up.
All right.
So here's the thing.
Well, Larry. Hello, yeah. Larry?
Hello, Peter.
I agree with you. Yes.
Good, Peter. I'm teasing you.
You threw him off.
No, no.
Go ahead, Peter, speak. You, Peter, go ahead, speak.
Larry, I agree it depends on the deal. However, Pennsylvania is ranked 47th out of the top 50 states as far as growth, et cetera, meaning it's still a depressed state.
Well, that's because we got Governor Wolf here.
Correct.
But here's the deal, Peter. It doesn't matter who the governor is, and it doesn't matter where you invest. I mean, look, unless you're a builder and you're going to build 1,000 homes in an area, I wouldn't really worry about the area or the location at all. I would worry about the deal.
Right.
I mean, I don't care where the deal is. If I'm good, you say, Peter?
No, okay. I heard what you said. It depends upon the deal.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. Do you have your radio on behind you?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But Larry, yeah. We love you. We're from New York. We got the same blood.
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn. What part of New York are you from?
I'm from downtown.
Downtown?
Downtown New York. The people from downtown New York rule everything. They took over
you
Hollywood.
The boys took over
Chicago, and you got a lot of people coming into Philly, but the prices are too inflated. You know that.
Oh yeah, sure. So where are you calling from, New York now?
I'm calling from the great state of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? You're calling from a communist you're calling from the communist city inside
yes,
the communist state.
Yes, I am.
Are you wearing a bulletproof vest while you walk the streets over there?
Well, put it this way. Thank God for the Second Amendment. As what's-his-name said in Judicial Freedom, if it wasn't for the Second Amendment, we would not have a country.
Well, that's very true. And if you don't, hopefully you're wearing a bulletproof vest and you're carrying when you walk down the street of Philly, because I won't go there anymore. I'm done. When they get rid of that idiot Krasner, I might go back into Philly.
Right.
But until then, I don't want to be
you're
the
right.
one. To, I don't want to go into. I don't want to go into the police station and say I was robbed, and they laugh at me and go, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do about it."
Right. No, you're right. You're right. Now,
so that's why I don't invest in Philly anymore either.
Let's do everything we can. Okay, for the great Mr. the next governor, the great Mastriani. That other schmuck. I mean, that guy's got no mouth.
Radio?
He's got no mouth. I mean, I don't know how people vote for him except those dead Democrats.
Well,
thank you.
Hey, Peter, you're like awesome, man. Have you ever been to our class?
Listen, I I'm going to go because I want to meet you, Larry.
I want to meet you, too. So go to investorschooling.com.
Larry, as we manifest, we want to give you regards from Christopher Walken.
Go ahead.
I'm serious.
Tell me all about it. Is Christopher there? Go ahead.
Right. Listen, Larry, so I'll try to come to another meeting, but I'm going to need somebody to help me drive. If you know somebody who is going there from Philadelphia, I can carpool with them or whatever.
So
have Christopher Walken bring you.
Hey, or just go to your phone
coming.
And type in Uber.
he's definitely coming. It's his
type in Uber. Peter, go to Uber and get a lift from Uber.
Okay.
Or one of your boys from Brooklyn.
No, we don't need Brooklyn. All right,
Peter.
Larry, Larry, we're definitely going to meet. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Listen, make sure you tell me when you're coming so I make sure that, that I get sick that day.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm looking forward to it, Peter. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
All right. Likewise,
you made the show Larry. Fun. Everybody in their car just now turned their radio up. I want you to know that.
What'd you say?
I said everybody in their car listening to this conversation turned their radio up and go, I thought this was supposed to be a financial show. What are these guys talking about?
Well, you know why? Listen, everybody loves Christopher Walken. Even he invests in real estate.
Yes, he does.
That's right.
That's why he's rich.
All right, Larry, forget about it.
All right, man.
Larry. Good talking to you. I'll see you soon.
Take care. Looking forward to it. All right. If anybody else wants to meet Christopher Walken, come to Investor Schooling this week.
I think that was Christopher Walken. I think that was Christopher Walken calling into the show pretending
he was Peter.
Pretending
yeah,
he was Peter.
Because the last time we had Doug Mastriano call in, we got in trouble. So I told Doug, if he ever wants to call again, he has to pretend he's somebody else.
Okay.
So maybe that was Christopher Walken.
That was Doug Mastriano pretending he was Christopher
Peter.
Walken pretending he was Peter.
Right, but he didn't even know how to say his name, so I don't think so.
That's why he did it. He purposely mispronounced his name.
Yeah, just to mess up everybody over at PHC. Hey, Doug Mastriano, if you're listening, call in and pretend you're Christopher Walken, okay?
So Erie, Pennsylvania or York, Pennsylvania?
Doesn't matter.
It matters about the deal.
The deal is always the thing that matters.
Which is brings us back to yesterday. I went to
look
at this
house. Oh, yeah, you were talking about your deal. I forgot.
Which I thought might have been a deal, but ended up possibly not really quite
being
a deal.
All right, so without giving the address, why don't we talk a little bit about the deal?
Right.
So tell me about how you found it on
I found it on Realtor.com, which I was surprised because I was just browsing through, and it looked like, it was priced at
$235. Right.
And you could tell that it needed some work.
And how much when you priced it at $235, how much were the comps? Now, it was beat up.
Right.
I saw the pictures.
It was beat up, yeah.
It wasn't in bad shape. It was just beat up. It needed everything. Mm-hmm. It needed everything from paint to carpets to kitchens to bathrooms, right? Everything.
Right.
It needed all. I think the siding outside needed to be done. I can't remember.
No, the siding didn't need
to be
done.
How about the roof?
Roof would probably need to be replaced soon. Windows, there was only one that needed to be replaced.
Okay. All right, so you saw it for $235?
Right, and it was actually the comps in the area were up around $310. So I thought, okay, maybe there's some equity in this deal. And rents would probably rent for above $2,000.
Okay, great.
So I went through with one of our students.
One of our students who's a contractor.
Who's a contractor, who is a wonderful guy, Bill. And we went through it. We took a look. And, I mean, there was some stuff you could have gotten away with maybe just redoing the floor, slapping some paint up and renting it out without replacing the kitchen, but if you want, the kitchen definitely needed upgrade. The bathroom needed upgrade if you wanted to, upgrade it for, I guess, the actual value in the house.
Right. So if you comp it at $310,
right,
was that with a new bathroom? Is that with a new bedroom? I'm sorry, new kitchen,
yeah,
new bathroom?
You would probably want to put the new kitchen in for that comp. So But it was something that I definitely wanted to explore because from, you know, just from online, you couldn't really tell whether or not it would be a good deal. So after kind of looking through and everything, we figured that, you know, if you could get it for maybe $205, mm-hmm. it might be worth doing.
So what did you think, what did you guys estimate it would cost to renovate it?
Well, to just kind of renovate it and slap someone, you know, put a renter in there, sure. without upgrading the kitchen and the bathroom and everything, it was about 20.
Okay, and to do it the correct
to
way.
To do it the correct way, you're probably closer to between 40 and 60.
Yeah, okay. So now you're looking right. at, so you're looking at buying the property mm-hmm. for, what was it, 230?
It was listed for 230.
Okay, so something. 230 plus 60.
Right.
That's 290. Right, and if it comps at 310, mm-hmm. you might as well just buy a new one at 310.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because you don't have to go through the hassle.
Exactly.
So that's why it's not necessarily a good deal. But then if you start to look at the price that you said at 205, mm-hmm. yeah, you're getting a lot closer. Mm-hmm. There's still now if you were going to flip that one, it's not a great deal if you want to flip it. I know you want to rent anyway, and mm-hmm. if you can get those kind of rents, now I also think that the rent was too low. And here's the deal: so mm-hmm. if you were to put in the 60. And you got, so if you, what if for 205, you put in 60, it's 265. You still got to rent it for a minimum of 2,600 just to meet the 10%, I'm sorry, the 1% rule. And for you guys who don't know what the 1% rule is, you want to look for a rent that's a minimum of 1% of the total purchase price plus renovations of the property. So in his case, it'd be about 265, and he'd have to rent it for at least $2,600 just to make it even palatable.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a good deal even at those numbers. But then you asked me to call the real estate agent because I'm the real estate agent here, and I called the real estate agent, and he actually said he turned down $5,000 less than full asking price earlier in the day.
Oh.
So he's expecting to rent it. Now, here's the thing. He's expecting to sell it. Most likely the person who's buying it is not an investor. It's probably somebody who wants to live in the area, wants to buy a house and renovate it while they live there. Because did it look like you could live in it?
Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. You could live in it. You would need to clean it up pretty, mm-hmm. pretty much. And then, I mean, flooring. It has the nice hardwood floors, but they're all messed up. So you could either refinish those floors or just throw. If you wanted to move in and live in it, you could put rugs down and live in it.
Yeah. So what typically happens then? You know, you're competing as an investor. You're competing with everyday buyers, people who want to move into the house. And look, the people who want to move into the houses are going to pay more.
Right.
They're silly, but they want to pay more, and that's what happens. By the way, if anybody wants to call in 855-939-1137. 855-939-1137. Feel free to call in, ask us any questions. And by the way, if you're watching online, you can leave comments on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter. A couple of people checking in online. We got Phil checking in online. We got Peter checking in online. Peter says your house sounded like it was a Levittown house. It's not, but it's funny because I agree with you, Peter. It does sound like a Levittown house. Now, there was a lot of Levittown houses a long time ago that all needed to be renovated, you know, mm-hmm. rebought and renovated. But now they're killing it.
Yeah.
You used to buy a Levittown, you know, I forget the model numbers, there's like four models, and I forgot what it was, but you used to be able to buy them for $75,000 to $95,000, renovate them for $30,000, and sell them for $200,000. Mm-hmm. Now, you're buying the junky ones, the one that you used to buy for $75,000 to $100,000, mm-hmm. now you're paying almost $200,000 for each one of those.
Well, what will that be next year or the year after?
Wow, so that's kind of a loaded question
because everything that is happening, if it continues to happen the way that it is.
Yeah, so the real question is real estate going up or down? Would that be your question?
Right.
Yeah, so
I say down.
Yeah,
it's
down,
going down over the
but
next
not,
year or two.
It's not going to be like a giant jump in the mm-hmm. next 2 years. But people are going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's going to be tough because somebody's going to buy a house, maybe they pay $200,000 for it. And, you know, it'll probably be worth 180, and they won't be able to move.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a mortgage, especially if they have an FHA mortgage, which lets them put down no money, and, you know, maybe they put down $3,000, because you could put down a minimum, actually in this case it would be a minimum of $6,000, and you put that down and you owe more than the house is worth, then you can't move. Right. So if they need to move for a job, or they get divorced, or they decide they don't want to live there anymore, they're stuck in those houses. And these are the people that I love to help because I can help them. I can buy their house for full price for what they owe in the mortgage without them being affected. So they could actually come to me. I would be able to buy the house. I'd actually take over their mortgage payment is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
and then they no longer have to worry about the house anymore, and they can go move somewhere else if they want to. So I do that a lot, and especially with and what's coming. And it's my favorite way to buy houses. It's called subject to buying houses, subject to the mortgage. It's my favorite way to buy houses. And if you want to learn how to do that, when you learn how to do this, first of all, it's going to be amazing. But if you want to learn how to do it, go to investorschooling.com. Investorschooling.com. You could sign up for a class for this Thursday. And by the way, we now have like 165 five-star Google reviews.
Something like that.
And you know why we have 165 five-star Google reviews?
Why do we have 165?
Because everybody who comes to our school likes us. That's why.
I think it is.
That's exactly right.
Well, I also think it has to do with the amount of students that are having success.
Absolutely.
And they like us because they're making money.
That's right. Oh, and we can't guarantee your success.
Right.
We can only guarantee we're going to teach you how to be successful.
Right.
And if you use that knowledge, the chances of you being successful are pretty high.
Yeah.
So that's what's nice about it. So in anything we teach you that. And also paying less taxes. How about paying less taxes? Did you notice that you're paying less taxes now?
I did.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild when you're, even when you tell your accountant and you say, listen, I did this year. And he goes, oh, that's a really good idea.
But Larry, we're not accountants or attorneys. We're
but I love it when I tell my accountant I did something different this year because I teach all this stuff, and of course I'm always learning new stuff to teach. You know, like one of the things that most people don't know is that you can buy a house in your IRA.
And I think you're about to buy a house in your
IRA. I'm about
IRA,
to buy my first house in IRA because I've never done it before, but I know how to do it. I just haven't had the opportunity to do it, and I felt like it was time to take the opportunity. But here's the really cool part about buying a house in your IRA. At my age is 58. So as long as I'm buying it with a Roth IRA, not a regular IRA, but a Roth IRA, and as long as the IRA has been open for 5 years, which it has been, here's the really cool part. At 59 and a half years old, if I collect the rent from that IRA, right? So the rent goes into the IRA. Let's say it's $2,000 a month rent. I put it into the IRA and I take it back out. It's tax-free.
Right, because you're taking your distribution from the house. You're not taking the rent from the house. You're taking the distribution from my IRA. But the money is actually going back into your IRA and replenishing the distribution. Right. So the amount of your IRA is not even going down. Not going down.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And you can now, so now, if you figure that out, so most people, if you're under 50, you can put $6,000 a year into an IRA. If you're over 50, you can put $7,000 into an IRA, an extra $1,000, they call it the catch-up. But if you're a real estate investor like me and you want to be able to put more money into your IRA every year, you can do that by buying a house and putting the rents into the IRA. Instead of taking the rent and using and spending it, you can now put the rent into the IRA and you can put unlimited money in your IRA, unlimited, as long as it goes through something that has to do with an investment like a house.
Right.
That's a cool piece of knowledge.
You're not the one putting the money in the IRA. The renter is paying the rent,
correct,
which is the investment.
Right.
So it's just as if you had a stock that went up and they
correct
sold the stock within the IRA.
Correct.
Or if any other kind of investment, a stock pays a dividend in an IRA.
Right. The stock
it's
pays
kind
a
of
dividend,
similar to that.
Right. The dividend going to the IRA. Exactly. That's a perfect example.
Right.
However, I'm going to get a lot more money in rent than I'm going to get in a dividend.
Exactly.
In most cases.
Exactly.
So it's actually pretty cool. It's actually a really cool way to work around the system and get the system to work for you. By the way, I also know ways if you make too much money and you can't contribute to a Roth IRA, I can teach you how to do that too. So that's all, by the way, it's all in my book. You know that, right?
That's right. Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus.
Come on.
Do you like that radio?
Go for it. Go for it.
Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. It comes out officially on July 18th, but you can pre-order a copy at Amazon.com and I think also at Barnes & Noble. And if you show Larry the receipt that you ordered his book, he will sign one for you and give it to you. And then you will have that copy along with the copy that comes next month.
And then you'll have two copies.
And you can read it twice.
Yeah. And matter of fact, I suggest you read it 10 times because there's so much knowledge in it. It's pretty much a 50-foot overview of everything we teach in Investor Schooling.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff in there.
There is.
Did you read it, right?
Yeah.
What'd you like? What was your favorite chapter?
The chapter where you talk about my book. But
I forgot about that.
No, the 33 Beliefs by Paul Martorano.
Oh, yeah.
Go to 33beliefs.com and order 33 Beliefs by Paul Martorano. Anyway, my favorite chapter, I think, is it's probably the one on credit. and credit cards.
All right. Hey, by the way, Glenn out there is saying great program, Larry. He's not saying great program, Paul. He's saying great program, Larry.
Well, that's because it's your program.
Oh, is that it?
If he wanted to listen to my program, he would need to listen to...
Glenn, you could advertise your program.
Listen to WWDB at 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Which, by the way, our show re-airs tomorrow at 3,
right.
Ends at 4, and then they could change the channel.
That's right. That's right. They
right. Can. And then you can listen to my other program on WWDB at 7:30 every morning.
That's right.
That's called Money Chat Now.
That's right.
So we're pretty radio oriented, aren't we?
All over the place. Hey, we do live shows too. You can come to a live investor schooling class on Thursday night, but then this Friday, if you want to hear some music, you can come see me at the Green Parrot in Newtown, Pennsylvania, from 8 to 12. Me and an excellent drummer, Frank Ramon, will be playing there. I think Larry's coming out. A whole bunch of investor schooling people will be out there. We're going to have a big party at the Green Parrot in Newtown, Pennsylvania, Friday, June 17th from 8 to 12 p.m.
And if you've never heard Paul play the piano, you'll be surprised that this guy who got this crazy, crazy personality can play the piano as well as he can. That's I actually think he plays it better than Elton John.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And, we know what Gilbert Godfrey says about that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not go there. Not on my show.
You played the commercial last time. All right, but no, it's going to be an all request show, sing along, classic rock, whatever you want to request. We'll have fun.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk about, something else. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling. This is Larry Steinitz from Investor Schooling. Are you tired of being broke? If you're tired of being broke, go to InvestorSchooling.com, sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday, and learn how not to be broke. That's right. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday. And if you have any questions, you can call us at 215-876-3002, 215-876-3002. Go to InvestorSchooling.com, sign up for this Thursday, and learn how not to be broke. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz from Investor Schooling, and I'm so excited when our students do well. Listen to this student and listen to what he has to say about investor schooling.
I sold one of my properties last October, doubled my money, and what I did, I invested into another property and then closed on a refi, and I wrote myself a checkout for $118,000.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. And if you want to find out more about investor schooling, go to investorschooling.com, and we will see you Thursday night, and we will help you any way we can. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know that last commercial, the one that had Mick on it talking about how he made money, doubled his money, that actually, I don't know if you guys know it, if you guys were listening a couple of weeks ago, Mick actually called in to this show, and we took that recording of that show, and that's what we made that commercial out of, because that was just such a great, it was such a great testimonial. And we have dozens and dozens and dozens of testimonials just like that, including even Paul. But just so you guys know, if you want to call in, 855-939-1137. If you're a student, you want to call in and give us a testimonial, that'd be great. And if you're curious, or if you just want to have fun, if you're sitting in your car because it's a rainy day and you want to call somebody and you want to just talk to somebody, you can do that too. 855-939-1137, because clearly that's what Peter did. Peter had to be bored. That whole conversation, it was exciting and fun, but, whole conversation was, hi, I'm bored. I think I'll call a radio show and talk to the host.
I think that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I think that's right. 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. All right, cool. All right, you guys, what else? What else we got? Something cool, right? Let's talk about something cool.
That was really actually Christopher Walken. It was not Peter.
It wasn't?
It was not.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I want to talk about something. My girlfriend texted me and said I look sexy on the radio.
I'm not even sure how to with that.
I guess that she means Facebook, but yeah, thank you, Glenn.
Glenn, yeah,
I appreciate that, Glenn.
Think about how funny that is. He looks sexy on the radio. You know, I've heard the expression, you know, you have a for radio.
That's right. You have a face for radio. It really means the opposite.
Right.
It means the opposite.
Yeah.
But in her case, she's watching on Facebook.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
That's right.
All right. So you want to say hello to her?
I do. Hi, honey. I love you. Anyway.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh,
look, my
sweet?
Honey's watching too.
That's right.
Hi, Linda. I love you too.
I know. You say that every morning on WWDB.
Isn't that cool? Because I run out of the house when she's sleeping because I got to get up.
Hi, Linda. I love you too.
Hey, stop that.
All right, so why don't we talk about more financial stuff, Harry?
All right, so what's the hugest thing you learned from investor schooling?
I think it's just how I move money and use it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I use the same money for different things. And it's all legal. It's interesting because
it's all legal. What do you think?
No, it's all. I mean, it's all the.
It's.
But the,
it's
I mean,
amazing,
when someone
right?
says, "Hey, I'm using the same money for different things," people think, "Oh, well, that can't be legal." But no, the way that I move money, like I.
Right.
Like
so
I,
you.
I always
you
talk
take $100,000.
Sure.
And you could take the same $100,000 and invest it in four different places at the same time.
In a way, yes.
And not $25,000, $25,000, $25,000. I'm talking about the same $100,000 each. Time, which is pretty wild that
in
you can do that, and we teach you that how to do that.
Right. So should I give an example?
Sure. If you,
an example.
Maybe, if you could
kind
whatever,
of. I know. Think I can kind of do.
All
I
right.
think I can kind of formulate how I'm doing this. But one of the things that we do is whole life insurance
sure.
as a bank, which
yeah.
you know is explained by Brent Kessler. So I put let's do it with $25,000. Say I take that I take $25,000. I put it into the whole life insurance policy. Then I borrow back from the whole life insurance policy, but it's still invested and it's still growing in,
right.
In the life insurance policy. Then maybe I'll pay down. Like one of the first things I did was I moved a bunch of money through life insurance. I paid down a huge portion of my mortgage. And then at the end of the year, I got a HELOC on that. So now that money is available to me. So I took that money and that's at like 4%. And I did a deal where I was the lender and the bank for actually one of the students on a deal. And I'm making 10% on that money. But that's actually the way that's actually where I'm going to make more than that because it's being paid off early. And there was, you know, a certain number of months of interest that had to be paid on the loan. And then we're going to do it again on another property. So
right.
it's all the same money, though, that's just moving.
Yeah.
In
wild,
different
right?
ways, and that's kind of
the same money you put into the first account, then
right.
you just keep moving it into other accounts, and you keep
right.
borrowing it and making money while you're borrowing it. And every time you make mm-hmm. more money, not only do you make money four or five different times on the same money,
right?
But you also lend that. I'm sorry, but you're also making money on that money, but you're also lending that money out, mm-hmm. or you're investing that other money and making
right.
money on that money.
Sure.
It's wild. When you start to see this,
and then
and
you add some 0% credit cards in too, where you pay the 2 or 3% fee and you have that for
and
so long.
Yeah, sure.
You move it through everything. So it's just using money. I'd say it's using money smarter way of
so
using
you probably
money.
Just scared everybody who's listening going
that's right
I don't want to put all that money on credit. You don't have to, by the way.
You don't have
but
to.
It but the weird part is you, when you learn these techniques, it'll blow your mind. It'll absolutely blow your mind. All right, we got Kevin. What's going on, Kevin? How can we talk to you? How can we help you?
Hey, how's it going? I got a question. You were talking just a few minutes ago about utilizing IRAs to purchase properties and kind of
yeah.
Realize some gains that way, but I have two young boys, and I'm looking to obviously plan for college and other needs of theirs. And someone had mentioned to me that some folks use IRAs as a vehicle, as kind of like a 529 plan, but utilize an IRA to do basically the same thing. And it allows a lot more flexibility in terms of withdrawals and retaining like kind of ownership of the money in the event the child doesn't use it. So I was hoping to get some insight on that if you had any about kind of the best approach maybe for planning for children's, you know, education, but also potential other expenses, cars, you know, books, whatever it may be.
All right, you ready? In almost every case, the 529 is the absolute worst thing you can use in almost every case. Okay. Now, in almost every case, the greatest thing you can do, but you have to do a little bit of a little bit of finagling on this, and I'll explain what it is. The greatest thing to use is a Roth IRA for your children. Now, in order for them to contribute into the Roth IRA, you can contribute up to $6,000 a year. Your children have to have an income. So the first thing you want to do is you want to hire your children. Now, everybody misses this one. This is the most fantastic way to save money in taxes. So any chance you have a business, Kevin?
I don't know.
Okay, so you need to get a business. You need to open up an LLC. You need to get a business. I don't care if it's shoveling snow in the wintertime. It doesn't matter, right? And I don't care if you have one client. As long as you could justify paying your children for doing something, it could be. And it's funny because some people make the joke that, you know, my kid was shredding papers the other day and I had to pay him. So you could pay your children up to $12,900 per year. Now, $12,900 per year happens to also be the standard deduction, which means that if you make $12,900, if anybody makes $12,900 or the first $12,900 of everyone's income in the United States is tax-free, technically. So if you pay your children up to $12,900 a year and you have a business, you run your money through the business, so you put $12,900 to pay your children, that's a tax deduction from your business. It's also tax-free to your children. Now, you're going to take that money because, again, remember that money is going to your children. Maybe you open an account, and because your children are under 18, you are the custodian of that money. So you're going to take that money, right, and you're going to take $6,000 of it. You're going to put it into a Roth IRA in your child's name, and you're the custodian of it, okay? Then you're going to take the rest of the money, what's left of it, the $6,900, and whatever your kids need, such as clothing or maybe food or maybe an Xbox or whatever it is, and you're going to use that money, or bicycle, I don't care, whatever, even a car. You're going to take that money and you're going to buy that stuff for your kids with their money. Now, everything that they bought is tax deductible to you up to $12,900 a year. And now getting back to the college, that Roth IRA is now can be used obviously for retirement, as you know, and all the money you take out of it is tax-free. But it also has a rule that says that you can use that money for college too. So you're going to use that money for their college. And now if they don't go to college, they just keep the money, you keep it in there, and it goes into their retirement if you want to, or they can use it later on for something else. But that's the greatest way to do it. And if you want to even take the rest of the money, maybe you take it's called a Coverdell, which is actually an education savings account, ESA, and you can put up to $2,000 a year into that. You might want to do that as well as a supplement to the Roth IRA. I actually do a full presentation on this. Actually, this one's a really long one because I do all the different taxes. Mm-hmm. I do an hour and a half presentation on how to save money on all of these methods, not just this one, HSAs, ESAs, Roth IRAs, IRAs, self-directed IRAs, how to do this and how to make money in IRAs. But did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. The only clarification I would ask is, I guess the example that you outlined would not be as applicable to, say, me having a Roth IRA in my own name as opposed to putting it in theirs. Because right now I do have a Roth IRA in my name, and that's kind of where I was initially considering doing this, through my own IRA. But the example you laid out was putting one in theirs.
Right, and you definitely want to do that. That's the absolute best way to do it, is to put it in their name. Because don't forget, it's tax deductible to you.
Okay.
I know it sounds complicated, but it's actually really, really easy. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's a different mindset. I mean, like my book, you know, my book is called Money Hacks, because everything you think you know about money is wrong. And most people have no clue that you can do this. And these are the things that we teach at Investor Schooling. You should come by one day, because I promise you that the questions you're not asking are the ones that are even more important.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It was very helpful.
You got it, man. I'm hoping I will see you at a Thursday night. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up. We also have Robert. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, Larry, I really just love your book. I mean, it's incredible. I have just learned so much. I've I find it kind of hard to get through because I keep going back and rereading stuff. We already formed my LLC, and paperwork will be completed on that June 23rd. Actually registered it in the state of Florida, where I have an investment home.
That's cool.
And so again, just wanted to thank you for just this incredible book. And I'm a teacher, 27 years in. And so I'm hoping this summer, you know, I'll have a little bit more free time. I'd like to come check your class out one evening.
Oh, you definitely should.
And yeah, definitely. So my question is, my wife and I bought a foreclosure home in Burlington City about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Got it for $61,000. My daughter, son-in-law, and grandchild lived there for 5 years. They didn't pay me any rent, which was fine because $61,000 was so freaking cheap. We put like $30,000 into it, and we sold it last summer for $196,000.
Oh boy, and you just got your tax bill, and you were like, "Oh, I should have called Larry first."
Actually, I have a really good accountant, and we took that home and that money rather, and we bought a home last August for cash in Florida, Wikiwachi, Florida. I'd never heard of it until I was down there. Yeah, pretty cool. It's kind of like more toward the Gulf and the western portion of the country. So there's not so in our state rather. So there's not really like the hurricane risk that there is in other parts of Florida. But anyway, so we put a HELOC on the home we have in Burlington Township.
Excellent.
We had paid that mortgage off last summer. Put a HELOC on the place in Burlington, and then that made it so we could buy the place in Florida for cash. My in-laws are in their 80s, and they're living there now. And, you know, dad just cuts the grass. Yeah. And so after I retire, the thinking is sell the house in Burlington Township, then we'll own the place in Florida, you know, free and clear. Checked out the money machine with Brent, the chiropractor. Incredible. I've got an appointment with him next Thursday.
That's great.
So, I mean, geez, I mean, this little book you have is incredible, and I can't wait sit in your class and just learn more, man.
And so you heard about the book on the radio then. You've never been here.
Never. And listening to you and I can't remember the other guy you're normally with.
Who cares about him anyway?
Make houses beautiful.
Yeah, Bill.
That's right.
Bill.
Yeah, Bill Falcone, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, Phil has since left. But actually, it's great. You know, the book, I tell you, I've gotten great reviews in the book, and I appreciate yours as well. That's fantastic. But keep going. You're going to find some more stuff in there that you didn't even know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the stock market now, and I got a little sidetracked because now I'm doing the money multiplier.
Okay.
And I'm studying up on that. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I just got me out of a really bad possible investment, too. That was,
I hate when that happened.
Turned out to be heavily loaded in annuities. And I mean, I just kind of got that sense from reading your book, and I knew the right questions to ask, and I avoided that that pitfall too. So can't wait to meet you later this summer, and
I'm looking forward to meeting you too, Rob. That's really nice. I really appreciate the call. That was great. So if you guys, anybody out there wants to order, go to barnesandnoble.com. You can look up Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus and order the book. You actually probably had it on Kindle or Nook, right?
I got it on Nook, exactly.
Yeah, because it's available now on Nook and Kindle, but the actual copy of the book is not available until July, but you can pre-order the copy of the book. In fact, I'll tell you what, Robert, if you come to me and you show me that you bought the book, I'll even give you an autographed copy.
That is awesome, because I'll tell you what, I've told like 10 teachers at work about this book, and they're all trying to get it,
And they're like,
oh, that's great.
I have to order it.
That's great. Like,
well, bring them to class.
Yeah. And if you want, if you ever want to, I'll actually, exactly. I can actually do, if you get at least a dozen people in a room, I could do a presentation for them at your school if that's something that they would want to do.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. All right, man. Hey, I look forward to seeing you this this summer, and thanks again for the great words. All right, Paul.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Let me see that your marketing's working. People are reading the book.
I just have to say, since I am the marketing guy, Mike, we want to pull out that book testimonial and use that.
But I'm thinking you already thought about that.
I want to go back to Kevin talking about college.
Yeah.
And tell me if my thinking is right on this, but with the money multiplier, with couldn't you use that for college?
Yes, you can.
But here's the thing. On top of that, it's a loan from an insurance company. So you know how colleges, they look at all your assets and everything for financial aid. They don't. I don't think they look at. Do they look at life insurance?
No, it doesn't.
They don't look at life. Right. So if you actually do it that way and do a whole life insurance loan, you can actually get more financial aid and still have the money growing. Well, and then you could still do the Roth IRA on top of it anyway.
That's actually a great point. So the point that Paul's making is when you go for financial aid for your children, they're going to look at your children's assets. They're going to look at your assets. Mm-hmm. But there are certain assets that don't count. One of them is your primary residence, and the other one is any cash value you have in life insurance. Mm-hmm. So these are great. So it's a great place to bury money. I see. And I don't know, I don't care what people think about whole life insurance. I mean, it's funny because you get the guys like Dave Ramsey, don't ever buy whole life insurance. And that's not true. There are many reasons that you shouldn't. But if you're using a whole life insurance policy for all the ways that you should, you don't even have a clue on how many things you could do. You can hide money in it. You can borrow money out of it. You can, I mean...
Well, it's a specific type of policy, though. It's just not
It's got to be a mutual insurance company paying dividends. That's the kind of policy that you're looking for, not a universal life policy, not an IUL or whatever the heck it's called. You don't want those. You want an actual regular cash value building dividend paying life insurance policy, the only way it works. But here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you want to go call your insurance agent and say, hey, can you sell me one of these policies? They don't know anything about it. Okay, you have to go to somebody who understands it. I know, Robert just mentioned Brent Kessler, who I write about in my book, the guy who we often have him at our school talking about this. And I wrote about him. It's funny because I just find it so funny because he's chapter 13. So if you read chapter 13 in my book.
Who's chapter 11?
I can't remember, but that is pretty funny. Or chapter 7, right? We got chapter, let me see if I can find it. We've got, hold on here. I got to find the table of contents. It's in front of me here.
How many different chapters are there?
There's 22 chapters in this book. It's crazy. So I don't know where my table of contents is. That's really funny. Table of contents. Here we go. All right. So you think the table of contents would be in the front of the book, right?
Right.
That's exactly where it was.
Oh, my God.
So chapter 7 is the truth about credit scores. That's fitting. Chapter 11 is how to buy a house with credit cards. That's fitting, too. And then chapter 13 is be your own bank. That's very, very funny, actually. But it is what it is. What are you going to do?
Sure.
So we have 22 chapters in that book, and there's so many different things in that book. I mean, I tell you, and here's the funny part, too. My accountant actually tells me that if you buy the book, it could be tax deductible if you use anything in the book to make money, which is very funny. I mean, it's a $20 book. It's like, how much of a tax deduction is it going to be, which is really funny. All right. So what do you think, Paul? Any questions you got something on?
What do I think?
About what?
About anything?
About anything.
I think I'm going to make a... I almost said a word I can't
I
say
know,
on the radio.
I know. I was I watching I you almost, make that word. I'm I like, no, don't like, do it.
I think I'm going to make a lot of money this year using the techniques in that book.
Yeah, you're gonna make a lot of e-money?
That's right.
A lot of e-money?
E-money.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think a lot of people out there making a lot of e-money from my book. All right, cool. Yeah. All right, so... We did a section the other day. I actually did something on Thursday where I taught people how to pay their mortgages off in 13 years without using any extra money.
Right.
That blew the whole audience was blown away. They were on the edge of their seat watching this. Sure. This is a system. I mean, I can't explain it over the radio because first of all, it took me an hour, maybe a little over an hour to explain it the other day. But if you ever want to, if you, I mean, I was showing people how to save. I think the example I used was a $300,000 mortgage.
Right.
And how to save, you could save, it was something like $150,000 worth of interest.
Right. Well, what actually the thing that's mind blowing that most people don't know is when you're paying, when you have a 5% interest rate on your mortgage, what interest, what, how much interest are you really paying?
Yeah, you're paying the first year, it was, I think it was it 77%?
Sure.
I think it's 77% interest the first year.
Over the course of the loan, oh, it's ridiculous. It's more like 50% or 60%.
Yeah, it was something like 50%, right.
It's because of the way it's amortized.
Exactly. And most people don't realize that the number it's based on is your interest rate that they tell you, the APR. But when you actually figure out how much interest you pay for your mortgage, sometimes it's over 100% if their interest rate's high enough.
Right.
I remember there were times where you look at your car loan. So even your car loan over 5 years, sometimes you're paying, maybe half the amount of the car back in interest. So we teach you how to save that money as well. That's a lot, but we teach you how to save that money as well. It's amazing how people just don't understand how banking really works. Banks love to lend money. They love to lend money because what do? They go to Paul. Paul gives them $100,000, and he gets his 0.5% interest or whatever, half percent interest on his $100,000, and they lend that money out to somebody else, and they get 6 or 7% interest. Now you think they get 6 or 7% interest, but they don't. They get a whole lot more than 6 or 7% interest because when they lend that money out, they're getting all these payments from the people, and the payments are very, very high. They're mostly interest payments.
Mm-hmm.
That's why amortization schedules are great for banks and terrible
for people,
for consumers.
Yeah.
Right. And once you understand an amortization schedule, and once you understand how you can make the amortization schedule work for you, it's amazing how much money you can save. I sit there, now I have tons of properties, and I sit there and I rerun my amortization schedule on my properties consistently because I'm trying to figure out the best way to save payments and save interest and also have my properties paid off. Most mortgages, if you do a couple of simple things, you can have most mortgages paid off in less than half the time. Less than half the time. And you're going to save, it's not half the interest you save. It's an enormous amount of interest that you're going to save because of it. We did an example the other day where the interest rate, the total interest, I think it actually went down from 160 to 50,000 total.
I think
it was something like that, but it's amazing how quickly you can do this. And as a student from Investor Schooling, you could come to me with your mortgage, and I will run the numbers, and I'll show you how you can save the money. And we had Trevor here last week. Trevor here was talking about that too, about how to pay future payments and save interest on the mortgage. And all you do is pay next month's payment early, not the whole payment, just the interest, the principal-only payment. You make that payment early, and you can – I don't know. The numbers were fascinating. It was like 14 years. You pay the mortgage off in 14 years instead of 30 if you pay next month's principal payment in advance. All right, real quick, because I only got a couple of seconds left to talk about the stock market. I'm going to say this. I hate the stock market.
Me too.
And the only other thing I can say is let's go Brandon, because holy cow, this stock market is insane. He's killing us. I mean, this inflation is unbelievable. I did not expect inflation to be that high. I thought it would come in. I thought it would come in with Wall Street's expectation or slightly below. It went higher, which is insane. Of course, if you put in gas, that makes sense. But everything else is going up too. I mean, I just didn't expect it. Sure enough, the Dow closes down 800 points. Now, I've been saying this for a while. If you regularly listen to any of my other show, I've been saying that the current range of the Dow is 31,000 to 33,000. Sure enough, it hit 33,000, and then it tumbled down from there, which means now it's only got a little way to go to get to the bottom again, which is 31,000. However, that range is going to move down in about 6 weeks from now. Not now, so it's still going to be 31 to 33, but 6 weeks from now, it's going to be 28 to 31.
Even with earnings coming up?
That's why. Because after 6 weeks from now, we're going to have earnings is coming in 6 weeks. The next 6 weeks is earnings.
Okay.
And after earnings, we're going to the Dow is going to move down. So watch this. I actually predict by the end of the year that Dow will be trading in a range of somewhere between 27 and 29, possibly 26 and 28. So just watch for this, and you can actually see it. I've watched these numbers. I'm watching several stocks, and I'm watching them all go back to pre-pandemic levels. Not pre-pandemic, pre-pandemic, which is right around 2018, 2019 numbers. So if you have stocks, And if you're investing in stocks, just know the likelihood that they're going to go back to those numbers. So if you want to look at the old numbers, those are what you're going to be going back to. You can buy puts if you want to. You could short stocks if you want to. Or just know that you're going to be going back down to those numbers. Unfortunately, things like CCL, mm-hmm. which I'm heavily loaded in, Carnival Cruise Lines, is killing me right now because I'm expecting it also to go back to pre-pandemic, but it's not. It's going the other way. All right. So we got about 30 seconds. I want to remind you all to go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class. I also want to thank my in-house producer. I might get his name right. Mike Kuiper. Yay, I got it right. And our producer, of course, at PHT, Glenn Page. Glenn Page is awesome, man.
That's
and Glenn
wrong.
Got a copy of my book, too. And he's going to tell you next week about how he likes it because there's no time. Did you like it, Glenn? Quick.
Loved it.
All right, cool. Go to investorschooling.com, and we will see you guys on Thursday. Thanks so much for listening.